Man, people crazy out these streets, bro. I've been grinding since I was like 15 with this music, bro. I've learned that I can't please everybody. And there's been a lot of love, but there's also been misunderstanding, hate, and this box they put me in. And it makes them uncomfortable if I'm not in it.
DJ KJ.
And I ain't in it.
Whoa. What's up? Welcome back to I Will Now. I'm Manny. I'm Lit. And today is Monday, so we are going to restart, or not restart, but continue our James series. We're in chapter 2 now. So for our Monday episodes in the month of February, we're going to do like some fun Black History Month.
Yep.
Facts. Or just tidbits.
Yeah.
And so one that I thought would be fun for us to talk about is, because we never did get a chance to talk about it, is Henry's Soul Food. We've talked about them quite a bit on the podcast, but yeah. But Nick had never tasted their sweet potato pie. So Henry's Soul Food in Oxon Hill. I gave Nick like a third of a pie.
Yeah, and I ate it all. That night, I started with the one piece, and I went upstairs, and I told my wife, like, that was really good. I'm going to go finish it.
So,
Yeah, man, that sweet potato pie, it just hit different. Mm-hmm. I've never had a sweet potato pie that was that good. Yeah. And I want more. Now I want it now. Like, this is not good. Now I'm all, like, I can't stop thinking about that sweet potato pie. I can taste the right amount of spice. The sweetness. Yeah, man, I had some whipped cream on that bad boy. Oh, it was so good.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It was so good.
People don't do it like Henry's Soul Food, man. They're known, and it's, you know, they're the guy who, I guess, owned the restaurant, Henry, passed away several years ago.
Mm.
And but sometimes you're fearful when the owner, you know, somebody who created the recipe passes away, because then it's like, oh, the food is probably not going to be as good. But no. They've been able to keep up the consistency, and I've been going to them since. So Henry's Soul Food, I still got to take you there so you can actually get the whole vibe of it all.
The whole experience of Henry's
Soul Food. Yeah, because it's really a very small building, and it's right next to St. Mark AME Church, which is my church. My grandfather was on staff at St. Mark AME before he branched out and started his own church. So it goes way, way back when I was a baby. You know, it's literally right next to St. Mark AME. You know, we walk over there every church event, anything we did, like, it was going to be catered by Henry's Soul Food, and we were going to get the sweet potato pie.
Amen. do they sell sweet potato pie year round?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm about to have to go get
a slice. They sell it by the pie.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to have to get the whole pie.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And eat that whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it was good.
Yeah, but they've been a staple in this area for a long time. And just shout out to Henry Soul Food.
Amen. Keep it up. Keep the good work going.
Yeah.
And that amazing sweet potato pie.
Yes.
I don't know about the rest of your food yet, but sweet potato pie.
That's
enough.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's dig into this word, man.
Amen.
So we read James chapter 1, and we've now read, I guess we stopped last at James chapter 2. We made it all the way down to verse 13.
Yep.
So today we're going to take 14 through 26 in chapter 2.
We're going to finish chapter 2 today.
Yep. All right. So I'll read it. And just a reminder, I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Version. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks food, daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith from my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe, and they shudder. Foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works, faith was perfected. And so the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, wasn't Rahab, the prostitute, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Today, instead of just going verse by verse, we're just going to kind of answer a few questions. And so this first one, I know, is a question that many ask when they read James, especially after reading Paul's letters.
Mm-hmm.
So this first question, does James disagree with Paul by saying that faith without works is dead?
No. And I can say that intellectually and honestly, that no, they don't contradict one another, and nor were they trying to contradict one another. If anything, honestly, they complement each other. Because if you think, like, I mean, this whole, the reason I think, another reason why we really did this whole passage together, because James just reiterates the same thing over and over again, that, you know, faith and works, like, you need both.
Yeah.
But he's also dealing with an extreme in this, the way he's addressing this, while Paul was also addressing people who said you had to do certain things in order to be fully saved. So they're both addressing different aspects, but they're not at all contradicting one another. And so I got, I love reading the Gospel Coalition. They put out a lot of great content. They put out daily articles. So if you're a listener and you haven't ever listened or read the Gospel Coalition stuff, like, it's really good. Yeah. I mean, you got guys across the board who write for them. So I got a couple things I want to share from this article, which I think we'll post as well. When we post this episode, you guys can read the actual article. We'll post the link in the info. Cause I'm not going to read the whole article, but there's a couple points I do want to bring up. So, you know, the verse that most people would say contradicts what James is saying here. Like, James says a person is not justified by faith alone in verse 24. And then, but Paul's saying we're justified by faith apart from works of the law in Romans 3:28. So those are the two verses that you'll always hear. These are contradictions. But if we read James 2:24 isolated from its context, we could have a real problem. Because if James means the same thing that Paul means by faith in Romans 3:28 or Ephesians 2:8-9, then James would be flat out contradicting the doctrine of justification by faith alone. One of the fundamental rules of biblical interpretation, however, is that every text must be interpreted in its context. To understand rightly what James means by faith alone, we must read it in its context. In James 2:14, the apostle points to a faith that does not have works. He then asks, can that faith save him? He further explains what he means by that faith. In verse 19, it's the kind of faith that the demons have. That is to say, it's a more intellectual assent. The demons believe that God is one. They believe the Shema of Deuteronomy 6:4 is true. They know Israel's God is the one true God, that he will judge the world. As a result of this, they tremble. Not only do they believe the truth, but they have proper emotional response to the truth. But this is not justifying faith. And then the Abraham, like, this goes on how they both, how Paul and both James use Abraham as an example. But they use two different phases of Abraham's life to further their examples. Abraham, or Paul, uses a younger Abraham, while, you know, we just read in here, and James refers to Genesis 22 when Abraham is getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. Like, he doesn't end up doing it, but still, it's, but yeah, so it goes on, this article really goes on to talk about and breaks down just how the two guy, how these, both these men use Abraham. I'm not going to read all that. There's a lot to read there. But when we, let me see. So James insists that the kind of faith that truly justifies results in transformation. It's a faith that moves beyond believing what is true and even having a fitting emotional reaction. It's a faith that rests in God's promises and acts on those promises. It's a faith that is ultimately inseparable from good works. Unlike James, who was arguing against a wrong view of faith, Paul fought against a wrong view of works. Regardless of how one defines works of the law, it seems that some argue that certain works had to be done for God to declare someone righteous. Paul responded empathetically that justification is by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. But this does not mean he ignored the necessity of faithful good works. Consider what Paul says in Romans 4, where he also quotes Genesis 15:6. Like, unlike James, who looks at Genesis 22. Paul looked forward from Genesis 15 to the rest of Abraham's life. And as he looks forward from the moment when Abraham was justified by authentic faith, what was the outcome? Later in this chapter, Paul writes that Abraham grew strong in the faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. His faith became stronger as his conviction in God's trustworthiness to keep his promises increased. This certainly sounds like an increase in holiness and good works. And as the rest of Romans, not to mention Paul's other letters, bears out, Christian obedience was certainly expected for those who are truly justified. See Romans 6, 1-14. When understood, and basically the article closes out with, dang it. When understood in their proper, I am. When understood in their proper context, it's clear that James doesn't contradict Paul. On the contrary, they complement each other quite well. Yeah. So the article is really good. It breaks it down. I literally just like Snapchat y'all through it. Mm-hmm. But it really breaks down how, you know, they're not contradicting one another, but they are complementing one another. Yeah. And you need to have both in balance and in mind when looking at faith and works.
Right.
Because I think sometimes we can go to the extremes. Like, I've been around some people, like, they feel like they have to do X, Y, and Z in order for God to love them and to truly be saved. Then I got other people over here who will literally say they're saved, but yet there's no signs of transformation in their life whatsoever. They continue to do the same thing. So there's that fine balance, and you got to find it.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, I apologize if this is triggering, Nick, but so I was thinking about this, and I was like, to kind of equate to like the difference of what, like, the saving faith and then the result from faith in Jesus, which produces good works. I was thinking, like, what about the person who dies before you even see those good works stem from their faith in Jesus? Is that person still saved? And I thought about it, and I was like, well, yes, because they've put their faith in Jesus. And so, you know, when you look at it that way too, it's like, so that component, like, faith is enough. But then, like, there's this other component that if there is still breath in your lungs, if you still have life to live,
yeah,
then what good is your faith if you're not doing those works?
Yeah.
So
That's not triggering me. That's reality, man.
Yeah.
Like, some people just, you know, they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and then they don't have enough time to spiritually grow, and they end up getting taken away. Something like that. So, yeah, that's a reality. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, like, you've truly said yes to Jesus,
yeah,
you know, you're saved.
That's right.
And I don't question. And even now, like, I won't question. If someone professes Jesus with their mouth, I will not doubt them. Like, okay, like, you have said you confess this. Now, let me help you. Let me walk with you. Let me, like, let's grow. Like, let's help. Let me help you grow, you know?
Right.
You'll never, like, even the people who speak some crazy mess, like, I'm like, you know, they've professed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, do they worship the same Jesus of the Bible? Right. I don't know.
But
that's not for me to, you know, that's not for me. Like, I can look on the outside and say, no way. Right. But on the inside, yeah, that, so it gets a little tricky with that, but.
Right.
You got some dudes producing some fruits and works that are. Yeah, that's a whole other topic. So
that's right. That's right.
But yeah, man, and I think, like, for us as Christians, though, we have to be careful with that. To, you know, say, well, you said you profess Jesus, you got to do X, Y, and Z. Like, hold up, like, let's.
It's not our place.
No, like, let's encourage. Let's help.
Yeah.
You know, because again, when you, like, I didn't do stuff right away when I got saved. Mm-hmm. Like, it took time for me, and it took time for God to help me grow and see things. But as I grew and my love for him grew, that naturally started to pour out into me doing things for his kingdom.
Right.
It just took time.
Yeah.
I mean, let's keep it real here. Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. My man didn't put any real work in until 3 years later.
Yeah.
Like, he went away for, like, and that's the thing. Like, people read the script, people read in the Bible, like, oh, Paul got right to work. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Paul, like, you have to read all the way through. Like, Paul got, like, I think it's in Galatians or Philippians or maybe Corinthians. I might mess this up. But he specifically says that he went away for 3 years. Yeah. Or I don't know if he says 3 years, like, but historically speaking, he went away for 3 years. And just was around disciples, was around people who followed Christ, and really grew in the faith. And then after those 3 years, then he went out, and then those works, like, really started to show up. Not to say he didn't do, like, he wasn't serving the homeless and his, like, the least of these in his community, but, like, to the Paul that we knew, it took 3 years to get there.
Right.
So we can't just always assume it just happens like that, because it doesn't.
That's good. Good job answering the next question. because that's what I was going to ask you, is, like, does it automatically happen for those who are regenerate?
No. I'm on the mindset of really, like, sanctification is a process. I know there is some who believe that, and especially in the Wesleyan denomination, this might get me in trouble with the Wesleyan Church if we have any of the top dogs listening. But, like, there's some in the Wesleyan denomination who believe that you can be entirely sanctified in this lifetime. I personally don't believe that. Just because we're humans and we make terrible decisions, but but I've also, I do think that some can, you know, in turn, like, sometimes God will just shift someone's heart and they are able, like, they are just doing things for the kingdom instantly. Now God's God. He's fully capable of doing whatever he wants with whomever he wants. Mm-hmm. But my experience, has been, not with, like, my personal experience, but also the people around me I've seen, is, like, it's been a slower thing where you make that decision and then the fruits and the works really start to come as you grow. Yep. It's hard. Like, you make an initial decision to follow Jesus, but you don't really know Jesus all the way yet. So it's a little hard to do things for someone you don't know quite that well. Right. As you get to know God, you get to know his heart, then that overflow of that joy and knowing that love that he's given you, there's nothing else in you but that wants to do any, or you don't want to do anything else but return the favor and love others and point people to this. So, I mean, I loved my wife when I was 15. I didn't really, you know, I didn't know what love was, but as we grew with each other, then I wanted to do more things for her. Because my love for her was so deep, I'd be willing to do anything. Before it was all superficial, but as we grew together, then the love became real, and then the works that things I wanted to do for her became real and meaningful. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I would say two ways. So, like, your testimony is, like, really interesting. It's different for you than some people, because, like, I remember you said that, like, instantly your desire to be drunk and, like, drinking stuff like that went away. Mm-hmm. It went away. You know, for some people, like, it takes time.
Yeah.
But I would say what I think, and this could be an arguable theological point too, but I do strongly believe that when the Holy Spirit regenerates your soul, that you begin to abhor sin. Like, even if you do fall short, and we all do.
Yeah.
But instead of enjoying it, and, you know, instead of, you know, doing it, you know, just to do it, you begin to abhor it, and I think that's a sign of the Holy Spirit working within you.
Amen. That guilt and conviction was never there before that.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit will be quick to let you remember that. We'll put that conviction on you, like, oh, this hurts. Because I think about some of the sins that I did before I was a Christian, and that some that got repeated after. Man, before I was a Christian, I felt nothing about them things. But when I did it as a Christian, especially early on, it's like, oh my God, this feels, I feel terrible.
Yeah.
Like, why would I do this? Like, it's just different then.
Right.
And yeah, man, it's like, if you truly give your life to Jesus, you're going to see change in your life. Mm-hmm. And when I say truly, like when I mean you say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to live for you and you alone. Yeah. I'm going to die to myself and live for you. Man, you got no choice but to change.
That's right.
Because then you're living according to God's word, and God's word doesn't quite line up with some of the things that we want to do in our life. So, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it naturally happens.
Yeah, that's good, you know. And let's not forget that God is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so he's the author and the sustainer of it. And mm-hmm. so he will sustain us, sustain us in it. And he's faithful to complete what he has started within us. So,
amen.
So that's just another way of looking at it and saying, like, it's not like we got to get out the mindset of being like, oh, it's all on us to do it. No, we have to lean and trust on God to help us get through, you know, these struggles of life.
That's good.
Continue.
That's key. I think that's a key thing, is to leaning on God on this. Mm-hmm. Not humans. Yes. Like, we got to lean on God. Like, God will use other people to help you, strengthen you and do all that. But, like, we got to remember that God is in control of this. He's not going to just abandon us. Once we make that decision, he's going to let you off. Like, abandon you. Like, all right, you're saved now. Good luck. Like, no. The Holy Spirit dwells in you now. You are the temple. Like, he is with you. He is going to work through you. He is going to refine you. He's going to never, like, there's just so many things that he does.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Amen. All right, so this next one, and I think we kind of started to touch on it, but so I want to preface this. So, can the faithless have good works? So you see many people who, like, philanthropists, I think that's how you pronounce it. You know, people who do good, people who have their own, foundations and all that stuff, who really, you know, strive to do good things, but they may not be fully, they're not Christians and they're following Christ. Mm-hmm. Faith is not in Christ. You know, can the faithless have those good works?
Yeah. I mean, I think James even kind of alludes to it by saying good works without faith is dead. Like, they're meaningless. Yeah. And as terrible as that sounds, I mean, the harsh reality is like, yeah. Like, there's organizations out here doing amazing work around the world who don't profess faith in Christ. Dang it. So, yeah, you can do good works. I think because this is theologically sound, but I think it's because even if we don't profess faith in Christ, like, we have this heart for our fellow brothers and sisters, because we were designed to be in community. We were designed to care for things and to see when, I think I've been around, I mean, I've got a lot of non-believers in my family. Where their heart genuinely breaks for some of the stuff that happens in our world, and they want to make a difference. And they do things, but you don't have to be a Christian, I don't think, to want to do good works. Yeah. That sounds right. But ultimately it's dead. Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing it. And a lot of these things, like, I've seen it firsthand. One of my friends specifically, he did some stuff that was really good and really helpful for the community. But he was doing it for himself. He was helping people, and it was really powerful. But what he was doing was puffing up his name. Like, look what I did. This is good. And I was like, man, it was good until you boasted about it. Like, what are you doing? Now it just seems so self-centered. I don't know. You definitely, I don't think, you, I mean, there's good things that happen every day from non-believers.
Yeah.
But again, apart from Christ, this is where the harsh reality comes. It's meaningless. Mm-hmm. You know, we're pointing, you're helping things temporarily, but eternally, people are, they're wandering towards eternal damnation. So that ultimately is what we need to be pointing people to, is Jesus Christ. You know, we can fix temporary issues all day long, but if we're not fixing that eternal issue, that's what makes me restless at night. Like, yes, the spirit, the physical needs is a big thing, and that bothers me a lot. But when I sit back and I think of the eternal need and how great it truly is in this present time, where, again, like I've shared on this podcast numerous times, that there's over 3 billion people in the world who have not heard the gospel. That keeps me up. It's that type of stuff. And there's physical needs that need to be met there, but ultimately it's the spiritual need that needs to be met, and that will never be done by someone who doesn't have faith in Christ. Clearly, like, you can do, they, like, these organizations, they can meet the physical need, but they will never be able to meet the spiritual need, and the spiritual need always is far greater than the physical need.
Yeah.
And sometimes meeting that physical need opens the door to meet that spiritual need.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am with that.
That's kind of like the difference between Celebrate Recovery and those other programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you can go to Alcohol Anonymous and not have anything about faith, and you can get a quick fix.
Yeah,
you can. And I've known people who have gone in these non-faith based recovery programs and have recovered.
Yeah.
But they're spiritual need and their spiritual health was still sick. So that's good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, my neighbor wasn't Celebrate Recovery, it was actually Life Points Grief program with Pastor Lynn.
Grief Share.
And Grief Share.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my mom went to it for a little while, but she also, my neighbor, his mother tragically passed away. I think it's been almost 2 years now. They were on their way to a family reunion in New Jersey, and she just entered into cardiac arrest. Mm. Like, just randomly in the car.
While they were driving?
While they were driving, and tried to stop the car, and tried to do CPR on her, and she just, I mean, like, just tragically died. And so he was going through it rough, and he started going to just one of those regular grief share programs that wasn't really connected to a church.
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't helping him. He needed something else. And so when he started coming to Life Points, it really changed him to the point where he stopped smoking. You know, he started going to church, which his mother really wanted him to start doing. You know, it's like he really just started following Jesus. So it's necessary.
Yeah.
But also, like, I think of the rich young ruler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was asking, you know, Jesus pretty much like, yo, how can I get, you know, into the kingdom of God? Like, how can I be a part of that? Like, I'm doing all these things well. I'm not murdering anybody. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not stealing. I'm not doing any of these things. And Jesus is like, that's cool. But, like, you got to be willing to let go of everything.
Yeah.
And then not only that, like, you know, to do good, not only do good, but then come follow me.
Yeah.
Like, that component, that follow me, that's a key component.
It is.
Like, you can do all these other things, like, that's awesome, but you have to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
To have your soul.
But Manny, that's so narrow-minded.
And
sorry, yeah. I'm not making fun of anybody. That's just the reality of what we deal with. And it's like, look, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes. Like,
there's no other way.
No other way.
And it's not to say, you know, look, there's one way. Like, everything can't be true, okay? Like, that's not how truth works. So, but, yeah.
Amen. All right, so we kind of talked about, you know, Abraham. And just, you want to talk about the connection with Rahab and, I guess, Abraham, too, real quick?
Yeah, I didn't prep for that, but yeah.
Well, I can tell you now, I mean, I kind of know them both off my head, but Abraham's, I just literally finished. I always go back to that one, that story. It's always incredible because it's like, it's so much in that story.
Yeah.
That points, there's so much symbolism that points to just a lot of things.
Yes.
That were to happen and it did happen. And so, you know, I always, in terms of faith without works is dead, I think about Abraham in the sense of him having that faith because of God already proving himself time and time again with Abraham. But I just think of his journey after God told him to go, to sacrifice his son that God had promised, you know, Abraham started to go upon that journey up on that mountain with no questions asked. He just did it, and he continued walking and walking. And you even see in the story where it's like he there's something there that he knew that God would be, that God would provide. You know, he even told Isaac that God would provide. And so I look at that and I think there's a lesson there for us in terms of faith without works being dead, that, you know, we can walk out what God has, you know, told us to do in faith, and knowing that we may not know what's on the other side of it. And I'm talking more in terms of like calling, more in terms of things that the Lord wants us to do in this life. You know, we may not know exactly where he's leading us or where he's guiding us, but we have to be able to stand firm and place our trust in him, knowing that, you know, when we actually look back and recall the things that God has done in our lives, you know, we will be able to remember that he has been faithful, and we can cling to that in confidence and be able to, you know, to move forward in faith.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take Rahab then. I think Rahab's really cool because she's the first Gentile convert, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, she was not an Israelite. She was a Canaanite prostitute. So really, like, while she was a historical person, she was also kind of a foreshadowing of what was to come, and how one day all people, Gentiles and Jew alike, would be able to be a part of God's family. And I really like Rahab because I think it really puts in the whole, it really tackles the, anybody can be saved. Anybody can have faith in Christ Jesus. Those who redeem, like, oh, they're too far gone, they're too this, they're too that. Like, no, anybody can have faith in Christ and faith in God. And I'm gonna share from something that can explain Rahab for our listeners who don't know who Rahab is. I'm gonna share something from somewhere so that way I don't have to talk hours upon hours. They've captured who Rahab is really quickly in a little paragraph, and they said, spiritually, Rahab was not in an ideal circumstance to come to faith in the one true God, the God of Israel. She was a citizen of a wicked city that was under God's condemnation. Rahab was a part of a corrupt, depraved pagan culture. She had not benefited from godly leadership of Moses or Joshua. However, Rahab had one asset. She had heard from the many men she came into contact with that the Israelites were to be feared. She heard the stories of their escape from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the wanderings in the wilderness, and their recent victory over the Amorites. She learned enough to reach the correct saving conclusion. For the Lord your God is the God of in heaven above and on earth below. Joshua 2:11. It is this change of heart, this faith, coupled with the actions prompted by faith, that saved her and her family. So I figured that was a quick scope of who Rahab was, what she did, that I would talk probably for like 20 minutes about. When we could literally, I could just read that and sum it up for everybody who Rahab was, and it's in Joshua. But again, I really just love her story, because it is a story of again, the first Gentile to make faith. So that's when people say, "Well, God was only this way in the New Testament." I'm like, no, hold on now. Mm-hmm. God had a lot of grace and mercy and was very point blank with who he was in the old. You just have to read the Old Testament. Now, yes, there's some wild stuff in the Old Testament you got to work through, but man, God, I think it's in is it Hosea, where he says that I'm gonna butcher this, hold on, man, I can't find it.
You can't find it?
No. But anyway, he was just talking about how he wants relationship more than he wants burnt offerings. He wants people's hearts. I know there's some stuff in some of the Psalms, but Hosea really said it in a really powerful, like, it was the way it was mapped out, because Hosea is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Like, it's just such a beautiful, like, I just love the way it's all laid out in there. But yeah, so like in that, it's just a reminder of like, man, God really loves you and he'd rather have your heart and your affection than all these other things, all these offerings, all this, like, man, that's the Old Testament. That ain't New Testament. That's Old Testament God, the same God. Yes,
same God.
So yeah. And even in the Old Testament, I remember reading certain scriptures and I was like, whoa, God made it pretty clear that he was going to open the door for everyone, not just the Jews. So it's, yeah, God's good like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, Rahab and Abraham are powerful stories of faith. So.
Yeah, man, God is good, man. It's amazing when you think about just the kinds of people that we see become saved in the Bible,
yeah.
From murderers to prostitutes, you know, to adulterers to,
yeah.
I mean, it's everything, and so. There's that, you're never too far, you know, you're never too far gone to place your faith in Jesus. And he's faithful and just to forgive. So,
amen. You could be a weeping prophet like Jeremiah was too. Mm-hmm. Crybaby and still get saved. And you'd be used. So if you're a crybaby, God can use you.
He can use you.
So,
amen. Amen.
No, God's good. God is good.
Yes, he is. Amen. So any final words on James 2 as we get ready to close and enter into James 3 for our next episode?
Oh, James 3 is going to be fun.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think, again, like, I think hopefully everybody hears this. Like, you know, you're not saved by your works. Like, don't hear, like, you're just not. Like, that is a natural fruit of when you've placed your faith, you've truly placed your faith in Christ Jesus. And James was not trying to contradict what Paul said, and Paul is not contradicting what James said. They complement each other because, again, like, we can't, as humans, we always try to make things, we always lean certain ways. But we got to really make sure we stay focused and leaning on God's word and not our feelings and what we want, but what God's word says. Now God's word says we are saved by professing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we do that, you should naturally be producing some works that will come. And I'm not in any certain timeline, but it happens.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, like when you know who Jesus is and you truly love him and understand what he's done for you, there's everything in you wants to do something to help point others to him to experience that same type of love. So,
right. Yeah. Amen.
Those are my closing thoughts.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this before, but like just this difference between those feelings and this knowing, you know. And sometimes you have to walk in your knowing until your feelings like catch up. You know, sometimes you're not going to feel like doing certain things, but because you know what to like, and it says it in James, those who know to do right and they don't, you're in sin.
Yeah,
you know, if you know what you're supposed to be doing. You know, even if you don't feel like doing it, you should do that until your feelings catch up, you know.
And another thing, like when you said that, it just made me think of something. I had a conversation with someone very close to me recently. I don't think she listens to the podcast. Well, it's my sister, my little sister. I don't think she listens to the podcast, but if she does, Sarah, I love you. But she is, you know, she's a baby when it comes to the faith. And... you know, she's grieving as well as the rest of my family with the passing of my mom. And she's been buying a bunch of books about the afterlife and, like, you know, the scientific evidence that got for God's existence, which is all good stuff. You know, a lot of the stuff that she's got, like, she told me some of the stuff she bought, like, all good books, like nothing I would say, oh my, don't read that. That's heresy. Yeah. I told her though, I was like, those are all awesome. That gives you knowledge of God, but that doesn't get you to know God. And there is a difference. We can know so much about God. We can get all the scientific, all this evidence that of a creator. But until you take the time to truly get to know the creator, it's not like you're not going to see transformation. So you got to know. And the only way you can truly know the creator is by reading his word and and talking to him.
Yeah.
And that's what I told her. And, you know, so, yeah.
Amen.
Like if you're listening and you know you got a lot of knowledge about God but you don't know God, that's a problem. Like get to know your Creator. He loves you and he wants you to get to know His heart.
Right.
And his love for you, his love for you is so great. Like, it's, I still get overwhelmed some days when I think about how great his love for us is. And how much he's, how willing he is to extend mercy than judgment. It's just a beautiful thing, man. God is so good.
Yes, he is. Yes, yeah. He is. Yeah. You know, and it's unfortunate sometimes there's people who are heavy into apologetics, heavy into, you know, preachers, you know,
yeah.
They say all this stuff. They're preaching hard on things, but it's not settling, you know, settling into their own souls. And so we have to always be, you know, kind of like under the authority of scripture so that it washes over us and settles into our souls.
Amen. That's good, man. That's good. Good point.
All right, guys. We appreciate you guys for listening. As always, just a reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Please leave a rating and or review. Helps us, but it also helps you guys so that you don't miss out on any content when it drops. I'll make sure we will drop that Gospel Coalition link into the info. So you can look at that. And, you know, don't forget if you're on Instagram to follow us at I Went Out Pod. All right, guys. We'll talk to you on Friday.
See you. Peace.